You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Greetings and hello. I'm your host, Captain Dean, and welcome to this episode. I am sitting down today with a gentleman who is an outstanding singer, songwriter, performer, and recently, it's never too late, picked up the guitar and started dabbling on that. But I don't know what else he may know. We're going to find out. Mr. Tyrone Dunn, welcome to the Sound Atlas.
Appreciate you having me, Dean, man. It's always good to see you.
It is good to see you, and I appreciate you being here. Let's get started with the thing everyone likes to hear right off the bat with these podcasts. Where are you from?
I'm from right here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, man.
All right.
My mom, originally here in the city of Bowling Green, and my dad from Smiths Grove, Kentucky. So I spent a little time in the country and a little time in the city, man. So I guess you can call it blessed to have a little bit of both.
It's always nice to have that because it definitely influences, I think, life.
Yeah.
Because I, too, grew up in the country but also lived in the city, and I think that was a good thing to
That's
have.
That's right.
So what got you into music? Like, what's your earliest memory as far as hearing music, getting into music? What got you started?
Man, I'll tell you, it's crazy, man. excuse me. My mother, she sang in the church choir coming up when I was a little kid. And as far as I could remember, she always sang at church. And I never really knew that I could sing. My mom, she, you know, has a phenomenal voice, a wonderful singer. And coming up as a kid, I listened to her in the church, and I never knew I could really do any singing or anything, so I never really looked into it. But once I got into high school, my freshman year, we were just messing around in the hallway at Warren Central High School, and I just messing around singing, and somebody had just, I guess, overheard me or something, and the next thing you know, Miss Lyne, Martha Lyne, the choir teacher at Warren Central, I got introduced to her with some guys, and I had to sing for her, like, right on the spot, man. It was
no
crazy.
Pressure.
She would have been singing for her right on the spot, you know, and I never really, you know, really done much singing or thought much about it, and I sang for her, and she was like, I don't know what classes you have now, but starting next semester, I'm going to put you in my choir. And I was like, oh my God. So, you know, I was a football player. You know what I'm saying? I was a football player. That's all I really knew. I played football. I played sports and stuff. And then the next semester came around, and I just got introduced to something new, which was choir, man. I fell in love with it. And then the next thing you know, I was talked into doing school musicals by Miss Thornton, Myra Thornton, and
yep.
And the rest, yeah, and then the rest is just pretty much history. I started doing that throughout high school, and got the tryout for the All-State Choir, and I made the All-State Choir for 3 years just for the simple fact of Miss Lyne just taking interest, you know, in me and putting her time into me and teaching me mm-hmm. about music, because I mean, I really didn't know about music. I listened.
You
to
listened
music.
To it. You heard it.
Yeah,
you were around it.
That's
but
it, man.
You didn't kind of dive into.
I didn't
it.
Dive into it because yeah. I mean, I wasn't interested, and I didn't know if I could sing or not for real because I never did it around anybody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then once she you know, she put herself into me and with this music thing, man, I fell in love with it, and then I started singing with the youth group at church at Hillview Heights, and singing there led to being on the praise team at Hillview Heights Church, and then one day Billy Duvall and Darla
yeah.
Pierce, wonderful, beautiful voices in
Fantastic.
Their own right.
Absolutely,
my goodness, I look up to both of them, man. They're phenomenal. But they came to me after church one day and asked me, they like, would you be interested in doing a Motown Madness show at the Capitol Arts Center.
So that's how you got
that's
into that.
It, man.
Okay.
I was after church one day, man, and they came up to me, and I was kind of, I don't know, I was a little skeptical. I wasn't sure of what exactly
right.
it was about, and I think they had asked me about it, and I said, you know, I need some time to think, I guess, and the next thing you know, I'd gotten a call from Jeff Reed, which is, you know, the orchestra conductor mm-hmm. of which was Bowling Green Chamber Orchestra at the time, right. Now Orchestra Kentucky. And he had talked to me, and he wanted me to come in, and he wanted to hear me sing, and I was able to, you know, sing for him, and fortunately, man, he gave me a spot to be with the Rewinders and the Retro Singers in 2003, man, 2003.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
not that long ago,
like 15 years ago, man, and it was on from there. It was love. I never really knew as a child that a music life would be me.
You like know it what was, I'm it was there, but
yeah,
it was never like
in
your vision, so to speak.
Exactly,
but it was definitely inside you.
Exactly, you know, and I had
I mean, right off the bat, you've just said that you got into choir,
yeah,
by accident, and
exactly.
You got into singing in the church and singing with the orchestra.
That's it,
and all of the shows almost like accident, because people heard you
right
and instantly saw the potential and just thought, you need to do this, and thankfully you listened to them because look at what you've done in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, man, I've always been a self-conscious right. kind of guy, you know, I guess, coming up. So I wasn't really, really sure. And once I kind of got in and got a little comfortable, it got a little better for me as far as confidence, man. And when Jeff Reed had took me in, and just being able to sing in front of a orchestra, I can't begin to tell you how many pieces are in these orchestras, but right. My goodness, just to hear them and to be able to have the opportunity to sing in front of an orchestra like that, and
it's always the best of the best.
Oh my gosh,
too,
man.
And
yes, and the gifted musicians, the guitarists, bass, piano, the people that I got to meet just, you know, doing that, man, it was a great feeling, man. I've never been able to witness, you know, anything like that until I got and to be able to sing with the Orchestra Kentucky, man. It was one of the greatest things, and I think that kind of boosted my name a little bit, being with the orchestra. So I think my name kind of got a little bit more
Well, it definitely did, because I mean, I noticed your name a lot in print.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there would be television commercials and things of that nature get a lot more publicity than like a bar band or whatever. This is like stuff that is community,
mm-hmm.
Family friendly type environments. And so it gets the treatment
mm-hmm.
of having really well done publications and stories. And
right.
It's almost like going to see a play.
Yeah,
or a musical in a way. It's very much on that level.
It is, man. It's very, very structured, man. It's very, very disciplined for the most part.
So your name's on the board in lights. I mean, as a star, I mean, like, you're one of the featured singers. You know, the orchestra is represented as the chamber orchestra, the South Central Kentucky Orchestra, whatever you want to call it. That represents 20, 30, 40 people.
Yeah.
And that's their name.
Right.
But then you've got you and all the other various singers or soloists that step mm-hmm. out front to do a piece or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool for me. And going back just a little bit on a personal note,
mm-hmm.
we went to high school together.
We did.
That's how I met you.
That's
We both went to Warren Central. And I'll never forget this because I don't know if you know this,
uh-huh.
and I didn't know some of what you just told me, but I knew a little bit about how I knew about the orchestra. I knew about Hillview Heights because I was still around
uh-huh.
at that point. But at one point, I was at Mark Owens' recording studio, and I was doing some tracks, and I think this was in 2006,
mm-hmm.
and he had a CD sitting on the console. And he said, oh, you've got to hear this. You know, Chris Carmichael just recently did this track to this beautiful song. And I knew Jessica.
Yes.
Because Jessica was the operator of the daycare that my daughter went to.
Yes, Jessica Elkins. Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
And
beautiful
voice. He hands me the CD. He pops it in and hands me the case. And I'm looking at this case. And it's a four-piece ensemble or a vocal ensemble of four people. And I was like, hey, that's Tyrone. We went to high school together. I didn't know he sang.
Yeah.
But I think I did know at that point, but I didn't realize that it was of like on a serious note.
Right.
Because some people do plays and things and they're capable of singing, but they don't necessarily follow it as some sort of calling or or something. They're just, it's one of many talents they have. And they don't think much of it. They just go in, they do the part. People more into acting maybe than singing, but they can do both, but they still pursue it as more of an acting thing.
Right.
So I think I knew that you sang. I knew that you were in plays. I didn't really know about the choir thing, though.
Right.
So I guess that missed, because when we did go to school together, I knew you.
Yeah.
And I knew of you, but we didn't really hang out.
Right.
And you were in that element of football, and then you got in choir. I was already in bands playing in the the rock circuit and all the dive bars and stuff. So it's like our crossed paths, but we didn't really hang out much, so to speak.
Right.
So fast forward to that moment, I saw that CD. I'm like, hey, I know that guy. I didn't realize he did this on this level.
Yeah,
and
man.
He played the track for me. And the next thing I know, I am looking for a tissue. It was not only one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard.
Wow.
As far as it was one of the songs that Jessica sang. Or wrote. I don't remember the name of the band, the song. It's been, that was a long time ago, but you know what I'm talking about. And I'll just never forget that. And it was so moving. And I mean, she sang beautifully, and then the three of you come in.
Yeah.
And I mean, with Carmichael doing the strings, and I mean, it was just beautiful.
Yes. And that was a group a gospel group that we got together when I was 18 or 19 years old. Okay. Acts of Faith.
So that came out of Hillview?
That came out of Hillview Heights. Yeah. It was our own album CD, but Hillview Heights, they're the ones who produced it.
Okay.
Mark Owens.
Yeah.
And it was Acts of Faith. And I believe that
Acts
song,
Faith,
that was the name of our group. Yeah.
I was racking
man,
my brain.
Man, I tell you what, those
interview.
Were fun times, man. Those are great people. Jevin, he's still a great friend of mine. And Megan, his wife, I love him to death. And Jessica, I still go to the chiropractor with her and where her husband's at. So we all still, you know, we still hang together, man.
Yeah.
We just got married and had kids.
Yeah,
grew up. You know, it just kind of float, you know, we kind of just kind of floated out, but we still come around, man. And that song, I think it was a Touch of His Hand is probably what the name of that song was,
and
she wrote that song, man. And I tell you, she's a great songwriter, and her voice
well
is
and
beautiful.
I know the story about them. He told me she had woke up out of a deep sleep at like 2 or 3 in the morning and just instantly was like, I need paper, I need a pen, and she just like wrote the song. And then Chris Carmichael heard it and was like, I've got to play on this. Like, and it was just like, it was amazing.
Yeah.
But that was one of the first times that I kind of noticed you in a rising form in a way as a singer on your own terms, even though you were in a group. Was that the first group you would say that you were in as far as like getting started on the path?
Yeah, starting on the path. Yeah, when we were in high school, me and a guy named Jonathan Toms, Ronnie Whitlock, and Cedric Whitney, we had a little group that we had together where we did the national anthem a few times
like
for the basketball
group.
Games.
Yeah.
It was like a a vocal group, but it's nothing that really was pushed or ever went too far. But as far as Acts of Faith, that was the first time really that we ever did anything. Artist like
involved in something where involved making CDs.
So Acts of Faith was it. Yeah,
putting on shows as a band.
Uh-huh.
So who was in that again? I know Jessica.
It was me. Her name was Jessica Pascal.
Right.
At the time, Jessica Elkins now, and Jevin Pascal, which is her brother.
Yes.
And Megan Pascal, which is Jevin's wife.
Okay.
And in the beginning, before that, it was a guy. His name was B.J. Stroutman that we sang a whole lot with, and he kind of started doing his own thing with piano and guitar, and he was doing his vocal lessons, and he wanted to kind of do his own thing, and we kind of agreed with that. He had that type of talent, but we all would all stuck together, all as friends, even though mm-hmm. he did the same thing. But whenever it was all said and done, there was only four of us, man, and it was one of the greatest musical experiences I've ever experienced, because that was the first time that I've ever been in a studio,
right.
You know, and when you go into a studio for the first time, and you're just like, wow, look at this, you know. I was like a kid in a candy store, and learning how.
Also, really, it helps you hone in on your craft, and you hear yourself crystal clear.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it's like you're really on the spot in a way to kind of like, oh, yeah. I've got to do.
It's almost weird.
You know, you can do stuff at home recording yeah. where you can just do whatever you want.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter if people hear it or not.
That's right.
When there's money involved, when there's yeah. people involved, it's yeah. like you really have to kind of step up
you do.
Your game. So obviously that helped
yeah.
lead you down the path that you've been walking. Yeah, though.
It did, man. It helped out a lot. I learned a lot as
oh, yeah.
well. You know, you learn a whole lot every step of the way, you know, going through. And
well, Mark Owens is a fantastic producer.
Yes.
I would never really have said he was a producer, mm-hmm. even though I know he was in that role, but
yeah.
just as a recording engineer, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But he's brilliant.
He is,
with sound,
man.
And he knows Chris Carmichael and all yeah. these people, and were able to come in.
Chris Carmichael,
some of the
best of the best, man.
Musicians on this thing.
Yeah.
So what a way to start, you know,
yeah,
like
I know.
To come out of high school and kind of go straight into that.
Yeah, yeah, just to be fortunate enough.
And
yeah.
Billy Duvall.
Yeah.
Is it Billy?
Billy Duvall, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Man, he's definitely one of my inspirations. Billy Duvall has always been
he's
one of my inspirations, man. He's just one of the greatest vocalists, you know, that I've heard with my own ears live, looking
yeah.
right dead in the face. I'm just like, wow.
He's definitely
you know?
A
yeah.
local treasure.
He really
as
is.
As far as vocal
yes.
vocalist goes.
Yes, he is.
I love that man dearly. I've known him
yeah.
for a long time.
Such a sweet spirit, man. He's a good
so
guy.
So when it comes to influences, as you're discovering that you have this,
mm-hmm.
What did you kind of start listening to relate to? Like, what could you sing along with? What came to you as an influence in music?
Okay. Well, I started, as a child, I listened pretty much to everything, man.
Right.
VH1, MTV. So I listened to everything from Yo MTV Raps to George Michael Faith, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Back in the 80s, and you know, I listened to everything, but
it's
once
like you listened to whatever was on
yeah
TV.
Yeah yeah and I loved it, you know. I knew that I loved music, you know, as a young child, but as I got older, and when I was really introduced to the Motown with the orchestra, I really started listening a whole lot more to the Motown sound, the Philly soul sound,
not the hits either,
right,
like
right,
cuts,
just
like
yeah, just
album.
Everything, yeah, and even you know the older classic rock stuff like Three Dog Night and Creedence Clearwater Revival and guys like that, man. It just I started really listening to a lot of the older stuff, man. I guess that's how I kind of developed an old soul, I guess. So, but Motown for the most part was mm-hmm. probably my big inspiration,
okay.
and a lot of the 90s R&B is
which
was
really
big.
Powerful.
It was.
If you look back
it was
on
strong.
That time, it's not like today. Like, that
not
doesn't
at all.
Really exist anymore.
It doesn't. It really doesn't, man. Instruments don't exist in R&B anymore.
It's weird.
You know? Yeah.
Everything's like a click track.
Yeah, you're exactly
I mean,
right.
There's talent there if,
there is
if it's done right.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the 90s, it was still done with very much real instruments, you know,
mm-hmm.
well rehearsed and produced bands and studio musicians.
That's right.
It has definitely almost been like a dying art form in a way, but I hear that in all music genres
yeah.
in this day and age too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, you still got John Legend hanging on, you know. I mean, not hanging on because he's always going to be there because
right.
of, you know, he's John Legend. You know, there's not too many that can top him, and you know, you have him, you have newer guys that are still trying to hold on to the sound as well, like Bruno Mars, man. You know, he takes it back to the 90s. He brings every style, level of everything.
He's extremely diverse.
He is.
But he also really knows how to keep it very much real
yeah.
and in almost like, a tight grip of just holding on to what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he's, like you said, trying to keep it alive in a way.
Yeah, he keeps it musical, man. And that's what I like about Bruno, man. He's on the top of his game, that's for sure.
Yeah. So who would you say personally is like your biggest influences, not just vocally, but musically in general?
Would it be locally or?
It could be local. It could be national.
I've got them locally and worldwide.
Well, you said Billy Duvall.
Yeah, Billy Duvall, Darla Day, Jessica Pascal, some of my guys that I used to play with, Brad Puckett, Dave Allen, Marvin Gaye is my number one artist of all time. Mm-hmm. Prince is my number two artist of all time. You know, those influences, man, are. They're
hard
huge,
to beat.
Yeah. And I'm a big, stuff. I'm a Darius Rucker fan, but I'm a huge Hootie and the Blowfish fan.
So you must be glad about the tour.
I'm so glad about the tour, man. I'm hoping that they. I'm gonna say that they'll make it to Nashville. If they do,
I've
definitely got to get
sure
there.
Darius lives there now.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Being involved in country and being on the Opry, I think he.
Yeah,
pretty sure he lives there because pretty much everyone ends up living there. At some
point. I've got to get there and see that, man. I was definitely, and I'll tell you, man, when you were speaking of me, seeing pictures of me playing the guitar, I started trying to play the guitar when I was a sophomore, I think, or junior in high school. I kind of got started a little bit and then, I let it go. And then I went, oh gosh, probably 16 years, I guess, before I even tried to pick it up again. And then I picked it up again, and then I started playing again for probably about, learning to play again for probably about 3 or 4 months. And then I laid it down again. And then here, probably the past year and a half, I guess, I've been strong with it, playing every single day because I actually got a chance to fall in love with it. You know, I love playing the acoustic guitar. I play it at home a lot. I know my wife gets sick of it.
You
my
never
daughter probably
know,
does
though,
too, man. But
with something like that, if it will inspire you vocally to either write or it will enhance.
That's exactly what it's done, man. I've been able to write so many songs just by a guitar. I've been able to write R&B songs with a guitar. I've been able to write country songs with a guitar. I've been able to write Southern rock style songs, blues songs, man. I've been able to write just different songs, man, with the guitar. And once I actually was able to just say, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to really learn how to play this. I mean, I'm still learning. Don't get me wrong, man. I fumble still every once in a while, you know, but, I love playing the guitar, and that's been a big inspiration. And I've been able to write a lot, and hopefully, you know, coming up here soon, we're going to be able to come out with an album. We've been working with John McCracken, you know, and another great musician as well. But he has a studio, and I've been there a few times working with him, and so we're working, and it's going to be just like, you know, you hear, you know, our cover band do. It's a diverse.
Yeah.
All music, you know, you're going to hear everything from everywhere. And the album that we're making right now is pretty much like that. You know, you're going to get some blues. You're going to get some country. You're going to get some R&B soul. You're going to get some pop.
But that's who you are.
Right.
I mean, that's going back to what you've said up to this point.
Yeah.
Talking about your past and how you grew up and what you listened to. That's who you are.
Yeah, man, and I've learned to embrace that.
You're making a record that represents you as a person.
That's right.
So,
and you know,
that's
beautiful. I've been able to get along with everybody my whole life. You know what I'm saying? I've been able to hang out with the soccer kids, you know? I've been able to hang out with whoever, you know? And I love that. So, therefore, I've been able to hear just different styles, types of music here, there, everywhere with anybody that I hang out with, you know, or anywhere from rap to rock, you know. And I've learned to embrace, you know, who I am. You know, I kind of went through some little tough times, you know, dealing with people who didn't accept, you know, who I was because I hung out with this crew or I hung out with this crew. But, you know, I just, you know, I never let it break me because I like the fact that now it's me being who I was then up to now has been able to allow me to blossom into what I'm trying to do now, right. You know? And I just,
well, you're not trying, you're doing it.
Well, I appreciate that, man. But yeah, then that's what it is, man. I'm glad that I'm going to be able to play this song for people who like this style of music, right. And then I'm going to be able to play this song for these people who like this style of music, and then this, you know what I'm saying?
I have seen you live many times. I don't think you disappoint your audience at one point, because I have never seen anyone just be like, I'm going to sit down on this one.
Man, it's fun.
They seem to be up from the moment you walk on to the time you're done.
It's fun, man.
Well, going back just a bit, coming out of Acts of Faith,
mm-hmm.
If I recall off of my mind, Micah, does that ring a bell?
No.
What was that? You had like a duo kind of thing that played at like coffee houses or something. I mean, what am I mistaken?
No,
or?
I never played with Micah. Micah was,
you were a guest though, correct?
I think I did. I may have did a song with Micah.
Okay. Because
after
that, what I'm getting at is I know that I would see a name or a title, and then with Tyrone Dunn or with special guest Tyrone Dunn.
Yeah,
and there
we
was like other.
We
things,
did the
like
Buddy
Trick
House.
Cat.
We did the Buddy House with Micah for probably about 3 years straight at Hillview Heights.
See,
and we
did
something else somewhere. Mate, was it outside of Starbucks?
But you've
maybe
done a lot of different like guest things.
Yes,
where, with
yes,
other
with other people. Yes,
and Trick Hat.
Hat trick.
Yeah. Okay,
that now that was a fun. That was a yeah. That
my,
was
my
a
memory's there. It's
yeah,
just,
it is. It
about.
Is. That was an acoustic gig that we put together. Me, Derek Mitz, man, which is one of the closest friends I've got right now.
Derek used to be and, my next door neighbor.
He sure did, man. Right behind you.
Well,
brother.
They're still close.
They are,
but they're just down the road a little bit. But yeah, I've
Derek,
known Derek for a long time.
Man, really good guy. Derek Mitz and Alan Cawthorn,
mm-hmm.
another great musician.
Both of these gentlemen have moved on to the
yes,
world
they have.
Of
they're doing
tech
some
work.
Big things right
they're
now.
Doing
yeah,
quite well.
Jason Aldean, but. And Misty Butler,
okay,
and she plays keyboards. She mm-hmm. also plays guitar and a couple of other instruments. Man, she's good, and she's at I forgot what the name of that church, United Methodist somewhere in town. But you know, she's still big with playing music and teaching piano lessons and mm-hmm. things. And Stu Johnson, he's moved on. He's a fireman out of town now. But we formed a group called Hat Trick, man. And we did a lot of acoustic gigs. We played, it was a different style of stuff, man. We did some Hootie and the Blowfish type of stuff. We did Stone Temple Pilots.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that was kind of
Counting Crows.
The things
yeah.
that you were doing coming out of what you'd started.
This TDX.
Was kind of, yeah, this
yeah,
was
the Tyrone
kind
Dunn
of
experiment.
Like the
yeah.
stepping stones to get to where
it
you
was.
Are today.
It was. The Tyrone Dunn experiment was also pretty much a stepping stone mm-hmm. to kind of for me to just kind of to blossom out and do my own
but
thing.
That, yeah,
put
that's
my own
when
thing
you
kind of
said, hey,
right.
I'm going to put something together.
Right, right.
And here's what I want to do. And
right.
So you've always seemed to have a really solid, you know, back band behind.
Man.
I mean, they every time I've ever seen you, it's like, oh, man.
Man, I'm so yeah. grateful and
you've
humbled to be able to have the
musicians
yeah. that agreed.
Which I think a lot may have come from doing the orchestra shows. And
right. That's right.
Obviously, you met all
yeah,
these guys.
And yeah, the Tyrone Dunn experiment, it started out with pretty much all the guys from the Rewinders, the actual band.
Like the core band. Like
Webb Hendricks, Brett Puckett,
yeah, Dave Allen.
And then a guy named J.C. Coker. He never played with the orchestra, but he played with us. And then
right.
we had Michael Stroutman. He played saxophone, really.
Oh, man,
phenomenal sax player. And Sandra Dye, she was the female vocalist.
Yeah, I've worked
that,
with Sandra.
That worked with us, yeah.
She sang on a few tracks of mm-hmm. a band I was in for
right. Oh, yeah, man, she's great. She's a Gladys Knight's voice.
I love being around her. Yeah. She's a great person.
Oh yeah, she's some. She's a hoot, man.
So that was the Tyrone Dunn experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of also went in direction of trio,
mm-hmm.
Which was more for like the smaller
right.
venue type thing.
That's
so
right.
As far as playing out in the Bowling Green scene,
mm-hmm.
you didn't seem to have any trouble. you seem to be able to fit in just about anywhere.
Yeah, that's
and
correct.
Obviously, that plays a big role in not only your diverse set list, so to speak.
Right.
Musically, I think it was appealing to just about any mm-hmm. venue you were at. But obviously, you had just an incredible band with yeah. you at any given time. So
yeah, and I'm so thankful for that, man. There's, gosh, I think back, you know, because Tyrone Dunn Experiment was definitely an inspiration for me, because those guys were the one that got me up on my feet and got me started and got me going in the world. It took them 3 years to say, okay, do you want to put a band yeah, together? Because I was always like, I don't know about this. And then finally I was like, okay, let's try it. Let's put a band together. And we put a band together. And once we put one together, man, it really blossomed and really, really grew. And for the most part, we had guys, you know, like Derek,
mm-hmm.
he kind of started getting his own gig, started out with the Kentucky Headhunters and kind of moved up and moved on. And then you had, you know, Bill Bittner, which was a saxophone player. He moved to Utah. And then Michael Stratman, which was the other saxophone player, he moved to Florida. And then you had, there's Alan. He kind of moved. Alan Cothran was in there with us as well. And then he kind of moved his way on out. And, you know, we pretty much tried to roll with, you know, and get other people in and kind of roll with what we had. And, you know, it just sometimes there's a time to say, okay, it's time to move on. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's really no hard feelings. But, you know, once you get to a point to where you think, okay, it's time to really see who Tyrone Dunn is.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was time. I thought that I was just completely finished. I was like, okay, this the Tyrone Dunn Experiment, we're done with this. I think I'm done with the whole band thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was kind of laid down. And then after you stay out of it for just a little bit, you get a little sick. Because you get a little sick. And then that's when we started doing the hat trick thing, because I wanted to get back out there and just start singing and be with some of my friends. And then as time, you know, a little bit of time, maybe I think a year, maybe a year and a half, I started, you know, some of the guys that were, you know, in my family that grew up in the churches, you know, that I never really got to hang out with coming up, but they were coming to me like, man, let's get a band together. Let's do some music. Let's get a band together. Let's do the music. I'm like, I'm going to think about it, you know, and then the next thing you know, I said, okay, let's get some guys. Let's get y'all together. Let's get it together. Let's get in my garage and play and see what we got going on. And once we got to my house and got in my garage and started playing the songs that, you know, I sent out to them, and we got in and started playing, I was just like, wow. You know, the Tyrone Dunn Experiment, man, those guys are gifted. They're great. And these guys were gifted and great. And it's just there's two different sounds, but they're both, you know, pretty much on the same level, but there's two different sounds. Right. And I was just like, wow, you know, and I just kind of was like, well, I guess it's time to get back into this. So we, you know, I kind of got back into it, and it started out a little bit slow because we weren't getting the gigs that I was getting with the Tyrone Dunn Experiments, right. Because, you know, because everybody, it would, you know, they're unsure, they're uncertain of what this band can bring compared to what this band brought, you know what I mean?
Our music scene is great.
Yeah.
It's super diverse, but
yeah.
sometimes the club
uh-huh.
circuit part of it
uh-huh.
is kind of a roller coaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like when you sit around and talk to local musicians sometimes, it's almost like you can have this conversation anytime.
Yeah.
And you can have it for the last 20 years. Like,
yeah.
Where do you think the state of the music scene is right now? And some will be like, oh, it's great.
Uh-huh.
It's really active, and uh-huh. all these clubs are open.
Yeah.
And then the next time you see them, what do you think it is now? And they're
right.
like, oh, it kind of sucks. There's only
yeah.
two clubs, and
that's
this
it,
one
man.
Only books the same band.
And yeah.
So you probably got caught in that wave of turnaround and clubs absolutely opening and closing and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the ones that have remained, you seem to have been quite a staple at. 440.
Right.
You played there quite often.
Yeah.
Obviously, the concerts, like Concert yeah. Park, yes. you got on to Thunderfest. You've yeah. done that for several times.
Absolutely, man.
I know you've done some like New Year's Eve
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
What else stands out to you as far as like places that you like playing around town?
Man,
that
may have been a weird taste transition, of Bowling but... Green, you know. Yeah, it's different.
But I mean,
you know,
just,
and
you've been in the music scene
yeah.
here for a while,
right?
And you've seen some of the changes on top of the changes that you have gone through with your band. So,
mm-hmm.
To merge all that into one kind of thing,
right? Right.
Like you're saying, the transition of this band to this band.
Mm-hmm.
Did the club thing have anything to do with that, or was it just kind of?
Well,
transitions all around for you.
Not really. I enjoyed doing the club thing. We didn't do much of the club thing with the Tyrone Dunn Experiment.
Right.
We did a lot of, you know, a lot of, like you said, the corporate gigs like Thunderfest mm-hmm. and the concerts in the park and things like that. And we also did, you know, a lot of country clubs, private parties, wedding receptions.
Oh, yeah.
And then once I changed after the Tyrone Dunn Experiment, it had to start hitting the club scene again.
Now,
to
is this
be heard.
Going into Kinfolk?
Yeah, this
okay.
is going into Kinfolk. It's
and
going
this
into
is
Kinfolk.
The current
the transition
band that you're in.
Right, that's
right
correct.
Now.
Tyrone Dunn and Kinfolk now. And then once we started finally getting, you know, in the club scene and started getting that name out and people actually seeing who we really were and how we sounded. Now it's pretty much to the point, man, to now where we're doing wedding receptions mm-hmm. like almost every weekend from
wow.
from the month of May, you know. And yeah, it's great, you know, just from then to now, you know, we hit the club scene and the bar scene just you've got to do community service. You know what I mean? You've got to let the community,
well, it's part
you know,
of the,
hear you. You know, you do that for the community. They're the ones that are actually raising you and
right.
and
but as
and
a getting, as a musician or a band, I think it's important to have both.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
It really helps you stay grounded.
Yes,
because you're not always going to get these high paying
yeah.
corporate gigs. You sometimes
right.
it's okay to go play a dive bar for free.
That's right,
and in front of five people.
That's right.
But you like, I don't know. I think that helps define.
It really
you,
does.
It makes it, it either
yeah.
keeps the fire alive.
That's
or
right.
It kills
and I'm, you know, and I'm the type, man, that, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm in front of 3,000 people or if I'm in front of three,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm going to perform for three people just like there's 3,000 people. You never know who's going to be in there for one.
Mm-mm.
And for two, it's a love, it's a passion that you develop, you know, and I now I only know one way, and that's just to give my best anytime I'm on stage.
But you
know?
Have played on some of the smallest stages in town.
That's right.
Some of the clubs are no longer here, like
that's
State
right.
Street Pub and all
that's
that.
Right.
But you've also been able to walk on stage at Skypack.
That's right.
You have played at the Capitol,
mm-hmm.
which is a huge goal of mine.
Yes,
everyone's
man.
Played the Capitol but me.
Yeah.
It's like a curse or something.
Yeah, you got to get there.
But it... what is that like for you to be able to, I wouldn't say it's a built-in crowd, but just knowing that all the rehearsal and the work that you put in with whatever project it is at that time,
mm-hmm.
when you get to step out in front of those audiences,
yeah,
is that the ultimate thing for you? Like,
it's, man, it's a rush
yeah.
thing, you know, it's just, the fact of being accepted for what you love to do, it only makes you want to continue to work harder
mm-hmm.
at what you do, you know? And just like you said, from the small stages to here, to the big stages to here, it just kind of lets you know, who I am. I don't care where we play, you know, it doesn't matter where they're at. People tell you that they want you to play. You know, they want to hear you. So therefore, if they want to hear me, or they want to hear the band, then we're going to be there. Yeah. You know, just like this past weekend, we played at Betty's Bar on Russellville Road. Oh. Yeah, a small, you know, a little small venue like that. You know, you play at Betty's Bar, and then the next thing you know, you're playing at, like you said, I'm doing something with the orchestra at Sky Pack, mm-hmm. playing in front of a couple thousand people, or I'm at Thunderfest, you know, playing in front of 15,000-20,000 people, you know, and then you come back to Betty's, or then you go to 643 that holds, you know, 300 people.
That's locally speaking.
Yeah.
That's right here in Bowling
Green. That's right.
Like, you're not hauling the band up to Chicago or
Little
Rock and all that stuff.
But next year, Just on a local level.
Look at what you're able to do. That's pretty cool.
I mean, it's just a blessing, man. It's like I said, it's just humbling. You appreciate people for appreciating what you do. I mean, you know, I had no idea from any day that I would be able to get out and do things the way that I have over the years, to the point to where I was recognized, or, you know, I never saw that. But now, you know, as time is coming, you know, Bowling Green has really embraced me with the Tyrone Dunn Experiment. Mm-hmm. They embraced me with Hat Trick, and they've embraced me with Tyrone Dunn and Kinfolk. And I'm so appreciative of that, you know, and I've learned to never take it for granted, man, and to just keep taking advantage of every opportunity that I get, man, and just keep giving it to the community, keep giving it to the city. And
please,
like I said,
do, because
absolutely,
I'm
man,
a fan.
I love it.
I'm an old friend, but I'm also a fan. And I caught your past concert in the park this past summer.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness, dude. I mean, some bands play these things and they have a decent crowd. Mm-hmm. A lot of people go to those all the time. They mm-hmm. go to every one of them. Mm-hmm. But then there's the bands that play, especially towards the end, where they bill it just right, where mm-hmm. they have bands that they know are going to have a bigger crowd.
Right.
You are on towards the end of those. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're the final one or
second to
last. Mm-hmm. You always have an outstanding crowd. And so your fan base is clearly follows you around. So, that's cool to see.
It's a great feeling.
This town isn't easy.
It's not.
It's not.
It isn't, man. You've got to.
You've got to
work, man. You're right.
It.
You're exactly
you
right.
You have earned it. And what is cool about this interview, I think, leading up to where we are now in it, is everything you've said is almost like everyone sees the talent in you, sees the potential in you. They have faith in you.
Right.
But yet you've always seemed to be a little timid.
Right.
And a little shy and a little like, I don't know.
That's right.
I'm a little unsure about that. But thankfully, you've said, you know what? Okay. So I think on behalf of everyone listening to this that is a fan of yours or knows you, we're all thankful that you have listened to everyone that had faith in you, because you've done some incredible things.
And I thank y'all, man. It's like I said, it's been a ride, man. Like I said, it's been 15 years since the beginning of the whole secular world, man.
And you've got so many more to go.
Oh, man, I'm hoping so, man. It's just been a ride, and I've enjoyed it, and I've just enjoyed the ones who have enjoyed us, man. And it's just a great feeling. You know, next year we're gonna go out a little bit. We're gonna go out of town a little bit and hit a few cities, you know, little states around Kentucky, you know, kind of keep it tight. But yeah, just see how anyone else accepts us the way that Bowling Green does.
I don't think you'll have any problems.
Man, you know, I hope not, man. And I just want to go and have some fun, kind of branch it out just a little bit and see what it's about. You know, I've done this here in Bowling Green for 15 years, and it just, the fan base and the support, it seems to grow instead of decline, and that's what I'm thankful for, and that's I think it's kind of like a God's way of saying, you know, won't you just kind of go and get out just a little bit and just see how that works, you know. Always remember where you come from, and always give your give back to your city, but you know, just kind of get out a little bit and see what it's about, you know. And I think we're going to do that a few times next year, probably starting, I guess, maybe about March or so, you know, take about 5 or 6, I guess, out of town mm-hmm. trips to different places, just to, you know, stick our foot in the water and just
hey,
and see what it's
gotta
about.
Do it.
You know what I'm
saying?
Because
if you don't, you'll just sit back and regret
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you step out in faith, man. Yeah.
Well, speaking of the musicians you've gotten to work with over the years, mm-hmm. who is in Kinfolk now?
Right now we have my cousin, Linnaeus Franklin. I can't tell you what instrument he plays because he plays every one of them. You know,
let's just say he's a music
yeah,
store.
Gosh,
and
man,
he shows up.
Exactly. Right now he's playing bass.
Okay.
He started out playing keys. When our drummer can't make it, he plays drums,
oh,
and then we bring Dave in to play bass, and then
yeah,
we leave.
Dave Allen has
yeah,
worked with you. In,
absolutely,
in
Dave
projects.
Allen is my buddy, man. I call him Pops. He's been with me from day one.
He's an exceptional
and I,
man.
You know, and I will never. He will always be in my life, and me and him, you know, I guess it sounds cheesy, man, but he's a really good friend of mine, and we've both had conversation, and we've both agreed that we're never going to get out of each other's lives, man. He's that close to me. It's kind of like it's almost like a father son, big brother little brother type of, you know, relationship that me and him have, man, and it's just it's been great. But we have Linnaeus, you know, he mainly plays bass now. Danny Heater is my other cousin. He plays keyboard.
So that almost instantly tells me why it's called Kinfolk.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're actually like a family band.
Yeah, pretty much. And then,
I don't know why I've never made that connection.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have Travis Lightfoot. He plays the drums. And we have Jordan Ream, who plays the lead guitar.
Okay.
And me, I do, you know, the vocals and just a little bit of acoustic. I tell them to turn it down low. But yeah, but man, it's those guys. And from time to time, whenever we have like bigger gigs, I have Michael Stroutman playing a saxophone, or I'll have Ryan Stiles. He's from
right.
Fatbox.
I was going to say,
I've
seen Ryan with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he's in the Kinfolk family. Fatbox is his family, but
right.
he's in the Kinfolk family as well. If he's not with Fatbox, man, he's rolling with me, man, and I love that because he's fun. He's just like we are, man. He just wild and free, man, and just play with feeling.
Well, is that everybody?
That's it right now.
You have always had a stellar backing band of musicians
yes.
behind you, and
yes.
I think you are incredibly lucky.
I am.
To have been able to just say, hey, guys, let's do this. And they're there for you. You've always had a phenomenal support system.
Yes. And that has a lot to do. I mean, that has a lot to do with my local success as
yeah.
well. Just to be able to get guys to say, sure, yeah, I'll play with you. I love to play with you. You know, I mean, just like, you know, when it comes to bands, man, they come and go. You know what I mean? Yeah, like I'm like a group that I used to really, you know, look up to, a band called, you know, the Fender Benders.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys, they had a lot of original guys, and then you had, you know, some guys that left, and you had new guys that come in, and then the old guy that left will come back, mm-hmm. and, you know, just kind of in and out of that. That's just kind of, you know, that's just the music business. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way that we've been. But this group right here, we've been able to really stick it out here for a while, and it's just great just to be able to play or be able to sing in front of such great musicians that are I don't know how I do it or where they come from, but it's just a great feeling.
Sometimes you don't even need to question it,
right?
Because
I'm
just
like,
sit
wow,
back and go wow,
yeah.
And,
because
and
I play,
let it go.
I play it at places. You know, now, whether it's at 643 or if it's at wedding receptions or if it's at corporate events or, and I hear them play and I just have to just kind of just look at them, just be like, Wow.
I think this is cool about being a singer, especially if you're a singer that simply just sings instead of playing an instrument.
Yeah.
You actually get to be the front row seat to just kind of step back and watch these
and
guys
listen to
these.
I'm just like, my goodness, how do you do that? You know what I'm saying?
Like, are you sure you don't want to get someone else up here?
Man, I'm like, how do you do that? How do they do that? I'm in awe myself, you know, a lot of times when I'm up on stage with these guys. Man, I was the same way with the Tyrone Dunn Experiment and of course, Hat Trick, you know, the talent of Alan Cawthron and Derek Mitz. You know, if you've never heard Derek Mitz play an electric guitar, but you're missing out.
There was nights when they lived behind me that he'd be out in the garage playing at, like, you know, 10 o'clock at night. Uh-huh. And I'd walk out on the deck and just sit there. It'd be no different than hanging out with him in his old tone shop or whatever.
Oh, yeah. He used to do it at the tone shop.
I've never played music with Derek, but I've always been around him. And I've got to watch him perform in bands or just sit around and noodle in the stores and stuff. And so, such good people. Yeah. And you have been surrounded with some of the best.
You hit it on the nose, man, when you told me that the guys that play with me, man, it's just it's great. You know, they bring the best out of me,
but they,
you know what I'm saying?
I think that's what where you are is because of who you are,
right?
These guys are with you because they respect you, and you're not like a typical singer up front where you're getting all the spotlight. You have no problem shining the spotlight behind you.
Absolutely,
you treat it as a band. It's never been Tyrone Dunn,
right?
It's been Tyrone Dunn
and Kenfo or
the
Experiment,
the trio, Experiment.
Exactly,
it's
man.
Some sort of name tag.
If you've got that type of talent, man, and you're with me, I'm definitely gonna show you to everybody else because they deserve it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they deserve to hear the talent that these guys have, man. And I love it. And like I said, they bring the best out of me. I mean, I have to step my game up. You know what I'm saying? That with these guys, you know, I'm just like, man. And it's just like it's a chemistry, man. And it's just it's beautiful. I love all the crews and all the bands that I've ever played with. But once I've gotten to the point now where I'm a little older and I'm a little more I guess more conservative, more laid back. But as far as the performance, you know, of course I'm still going to be energetic. But I love this core right here. I've never played with a core like this core, this band here. This band here is like, it's something special.
Well, I love the name, too. I've always thought, I mean, obviously I'm an idiot for not making the connection.
Right.
Family members.
Right.
Yeah. I just thought, just saying kinfolk, as a band unit behind you, it felt like, without even knowing that, that it was a family.
Yeah,
it was
and that's like we are. Man, we're, and everyone, even though there's just a couple of us now that are left, or a few of us now that are family, every one of them just still, we just feel like family now. Everybody's just it's a unit now, and I've had units, you know, and everybody, but now this, I don't know, it's just something special about this crew. Even with Dave, you know, Dave Allen is even though he's with the Get Down, he's still part of us,
right.
and he's always going to be part of me, you know what I mean? And this crew here is one that I believe we're going to be together for a few more years to come.
That was my next question.
What
do you see coming in the future? You've already mentioned you're hoping to get out of town, do some regional touring kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you are working on a record.
We're going to work on a record now, man. So we've got two tracks down right now.
Are you going for an EP or a full length album?
Man, I think we're gonna go for eight songs.
Okay,
eight songs just to get it out there. Even
I've
though we had
eight
more.
Was the weird number. Is it an EP or is it a record?
Right. I don't know. What's the difference?
I learned this recently. They said that an EP is not based on how many tracks; it's based on how long it is.
Okay.
So apparently an EP can have 10 songs, but if it's only 28 minutes, it's an EP.
That's an EP.
And okay. I thought that was weird. I was like, I thought an EP was like seven songs, yeah, like 3 to 7 songs.
Right.
And then if it was 8 songs or more,
yeah,
to me, that's an album.
That's an album. So we're working on an album. We're working on an album.
That's what we're going to do. You're working on some music that's going to be released at some point.
Absolutely.
Obviously,
man.
In 2019.
Yes.
You have no idea when.
We really don't have a date set. You know, as doing the music thing with the band, we still all have full-time jobs.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's so hard to get everybody under the same roof other than the night you have to play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's always been that way. But with this group here, we're all pretty much work, you know, the same hours and get off the same. You know, we still have families and kids, but we can actually find that time now. Yeah, we're able to do that. Yeah, because
a lot of people have that problem of they don't want to. They look at it as almost a burden.
Uh-huh.
To me, you either make time for music or you don't.
Yep.
Because you can sit around and talk about it, you can procrastinate about
mm-hmm.
it, or you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always said to me, is I make time for music.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. If you want to do it, it's definitely about sacrifices. And you can believe that. And any musician out there knows that. If you're wanting to push anything, it doesn't matter if you want to do an album or you want to just push getting out here to bars and playing or push wedding. It doesn't matter. It takes sacrifice, mm-hmm. especially if you have family. You know, there's going to be times where, you know, 2, maybe 3 days out of the week, you have to go do this with the band. You know, there's times where we'll have, you know, acoustic setting through the week and then play on Friday and Saturday. We've done that a few times. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, you're just like, okay, now I'm not going to see my daughter for 3 days, you know, or my wife, you know, she understands, but still at the same time, you know,
it really is.
And
you know, if people love you and support you,
yeah,
that is the strength you need.
That's right. And thankfully I have a wife, you know, that's, you know, this is his passion. You know, I know he loves his wife and he loves his children and he takes care of his home. But at the same time, you know, music also helps take care of that. And that's his passion. So she understands me and she says, hey, go do what you got to do. I know you're coming home. You know what I'm saying? And and it even gives me a break away from your hind end, you know? So, yeah. And it's a good thing. It takes some sacrificing, man, and it takes some time, and it definitely takes discipline.
Well, speaking of home, I'm going to wrap this up so you can get home.
Oh, man, that's cool. I enjoyed it.
Before we wrap it up, tell everybody where they can find you guys, you, the band, the music. Where can everyone find you at online?
Yeah, absolutely, man. You can find me online. I have my personal page, my Facebook page, Tyrone Dunn. It also advertise and a lot of our gigs and different dates of different places that we play. Also, we have the Tyrone Dunn and Kim Folk fan page. We spell Kim Folk differently on purpose. KIN-FOKE for the people out there who think that I don't know how to spell Kim Folk. I did it on purpose. So I hope you hear
this. That's entertaining.
Exactly. So, you know, that's our fan page, Tyrone Dunn and Kim Folk. And also follow me on Instagram, Tyrone_Dunn. Yes, you do. And I follow you too. You always love seeing your grape sodas and all of your pictures. I know your favorite stuff on Instagram because I see it and I like it.
I'm not afraid to let everyone know.
Absolutely.
Like my favorite stuff.
But yeah, the fan page, my personal page, Instagram and Facebook, you can look us up. And coming up this New Year's Eve, we're going to be at 643. We're going to be up on the fourth floor in the penthouse. And that's going to be our next date. So and then we're going to take
now,
a little break.
This will probably air after that.
Oh,
so you can
okay.
just say that New Year's Eve was an incredible show and you had
absolutely.
A great time.
Absolutely. New Year's Eve was absolutely wonderful, man. good times. It always is on New Year's Eve, especially with 643. They always treat us well. But this is it's going to be a fun future, man. There's a lot of ahead that we're looking forward to, and we're hoping to kind of to grow, you know, a little bit more. You know, thankfully we have grown in Bowling Green, and hopefully we can grow some more and kind of spread out a little bit, but always bring it back home, number one, because there are the ones who had our backs through this whole, and had my back through this whole 15 year roller coaster ride.
Keep riding that roller coaster, man.
Absolutely, man. I'm not getting off.
Thank you again for being here.
Thank you, Dane, man. It's good being here. Absolutely.